Good morning. I want to welcome everyone who's tuning in live this morning, whether you're in another state or whether you're right here in our community. We are so glad to have you tune in today. Some of you probably noticed we've got some exciting news. May 31st, next Sunday, we're going to be able to come back and worship together in the building. Hope you'll be a part of that. The doors will open at 10 o'clock and we will begin our worship at 10:30. If you're unable to be here, whether it's due to your health or maybe you're just not ready to come back yet, we're still going to continue to do live streaming. And so you can still tune in each and every week and worship with us live. I want to begin this morning by telling you a story. It's one I've told before, and it's really one of my favorite stories to tell. It's about a guy who went to the doctor, and he walked up to the desk where he was met by kind of a mean-spirited nurse. She looked at him, and she said, "What do you want?" And he said, I'm here to see the doctor. He says, I've got this place right here under my chin, and I just want the doctor to look at it." And the nurse immediately said in a very stern voice, "Down the hall, first door to the right, take off all your clothes." Well, the guy said, "You know, I really don't think it's necessary for me to take off all my clothes. You know, it's right here under my chin." And she said, "Down the hall, first door on the right, take off all your clothes." And he said, "Ma'am," he said, "really, I don't think you understand. It's under my chin. I don't think it's necessary." And she immediately interrupted and said, "Down the hall, first door to the right, take off all your clothes." He said, okay. Anyway, walks down the hall, first door on the right, and when he opens the door, there's a little guy in his boxers sitting on a stool just shivering to death. Well, it was kind of an awkward moment, and so to break the ice, he was like, "Boy," he says, "that nurse, man, she's just really mean." And the little guy on the stool said, "You're telling me?" He said, "I'm just the UPS driver." All right. Finally, they installed the laugh track. I don't have anybody here to laugh at my jokes, and so they installed a laugh track. That's great. I'm glad to have somebody laughing this morning. You know, I think all of us can relate to that story, right? We've all encountered people who really, we would say they need a personality transplant. You know, maybe they're a little mean, or there's just no joy in them whatsoever. And probably all of us are tempted to be that way at times. But here's the deal. As Christians, God has called us to be loving and kind and full of joy and peace, patient, faithful, gentle, and self-control. But how many of us would honestly say that at times that can be really, really difficult? And so here's the deal. If we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to live for Him and be everything that we need to be, then you know what? We're going to need some help. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person that you're worshiping with today, and I want you to say to them, "You need some help." Now, some of you have been waiting to say that for years. Well, now's your opportunity, because here's the deal. Every single one of us needs some help to be everything that God's called us to be. But God didn't leave us to ourselves. No, God sent the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. Now, let me just stop right here and let me say this. If you think I'm going to be able to answer all your questions concerning the Holy Spirit today, man, you're going to be very disappointed. Because here's the deal. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. Now, we're going to talk a little bit further into our lesson about this very point, but the Holy Spirit is God. And here's the deal. We are never sufficient in our understanding of God. You guys have heard me read this scripture before, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And so we're never going to be able to fully understand the Holy Spirit. And so here's how we're going to approach our lesson today. We're going to focus primarily on what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit. You know, so oftentimes when people want to do a study on the Holy Spirit, they'll go out and they'll buy a book that was written by a great scholar or a great teacher, and there's nothing wrong with that, but why not start with Jesus? The one who knew the Holy Spirit better than anyone. What did Jesus have to say about the Holy Spirit? You know, throughout Jesus' ministry, He urged people to leave everything and follow Him. And many did. Remember Mark chapter 10, verse 28? It says, "Then Peter began to mention all that he and the other disciples had left behind." We've given up what? We've given up everything to follow you. Notice, they gave up everything to follow Jesus. And now Jesus says to them, "Oh, by the way, I'm leaving." Can you imagine that? 10 times in John chapters 14 through John chapter 16, Jesus is trying to help His disciples understand that He is leaving, and we can understand how upset that must have made them. I mean, here they had given up everything to follow Jesus, and now Jesus says, "I'm leaving." And the disciples are upset. But Jesus isn't, because Jesus knew something that they didn't know. Look at John chapter 16, verses 5 through 6. Notice what it says. Notice what Jesus says. "But now I'm going to Him who sent me. None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your" — what? Say it out loud at home. "It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." And so the disciples are upset. Jesus is leaving. This is absolutely terrible. And Jesus says, "No, listen to me. This is a good thing, because the best is yet to come." Not because it's going to be easy for them. Through these 3 chapters, John 14 through 16, Jesus is going to tell them that it's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to face times of hostility and uncertainty. And there's going to be times when they're going to be taken to court and they're going to be placed in jail. And the day will come, Jesus says, when people will kill you and they think that they are doing God a favor. But Jesus says, "Understand this, I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." And Jesus says, "It is to your advantage. It's better for you that I do this." But you can imagine, right, how really discouraging, how hard this would have been for Jesus' disciples to hear. And I think we can understand this, right? I think most of us would say, if I had my choice, I mean, I would want Jesus right here with me right now in the flesh. Jesus says, "No, it's better for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you." Listen, we need to really study what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had the best view of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I don't think we can really ever appreciate the Holy Spirit until we understand how much Jesus appreciated the Holy Spirit. And Jesus thought the Holy Spirit was the best. And His view was formed from His intimate and personal experiences with the Holy Spirit. For example, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of what? Full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was what? Said out loud. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now here's the deal. This wasn't just one small moment in the life of Jesus. No, Jesus lived a life full of and led by the Holy Spirit. In fact, look at some of these examples. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, you have the angel Gabriel who comes to Mary to announce that she is going to give birth to a son by the name of Jesus. Look at how the angel describes this. The Holy Spirit will what? Will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice, Jesus was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus became flesh. Also look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. In other words, Jesus' ministry was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Also, Luke chapter 10, verse 21, it says, at that time, Jesus, full of what? Full of joy through who? Through the Holy Spirit. You know, I think so oftentimes when people think about Jesus, they think of someone who's very serious and never smiles, but that's not what we see in the Scriptures. Jesus would have been a person who you would want to be around because He was full of joy. I'm sure He was always smiling for the most part. But that came about because of the Holy Spirit. Also in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, the Hebrew writer says, just think how much the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the what? For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered Himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Notice, when Jesus went to the cross, He offered up His life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about this for just a moment. Could you give your life for others? Or let's take it a little bit further. Could you give your life for people who mistreated you, who hated you? Do you think you would need some help doing that? You would need some power. Jesus did that through the Holy Spirit. Also, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Notice what Paul writes. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Notice, Jesus was raised from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, as Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, it says that He gave His apostles instructions through the Holy Spirit. And so notice, from the moment of His conception to His last moment here on earth, Jesus lived empowered by, led by, nourished by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was His helper. And Jesus knew that His church and His disciples would need help too. And so He knew exactly who to send to help us, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, before we close out today, I want to share with you just a few things that we need to know about the Holy Spirit. I told you we were going to come back to this. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. He is not the third wheel of the Godhead. He is not on the JV team, meaning that, you know, He's good, but He's not good enough to be varsity. No, the Holy Spirit, understand, is God. In fact, we see all three in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, where Paul writes, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus," there's the Son, "and the love of God," there is the Father, and then watch this, "and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." There's all three. And here's the part that I really love about this verse. Notice what it says, "the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." You see, the Holy Spirit is not just some wonderful power. He is a powerful person. That's why we can enjoy fellowship with Him. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Holy Spirit prays. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit decides. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. The Holy Spirit guides. John chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He has emotions. Ephesians 3, 20. And the Holy Spirit can be lied to. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Now, why am I showing you this? Because a power is to be used, but a person is to be known. You know, in Acts chapter 8, when Peter and John show up in Samaria and they're doing powerful works through the Holy Spirit, a magician by the name of Simon approaches them in Acts chapter 8, verse 18, and says, "Let me buy some of that power." And if you remember, Peter rebukes him because you can't buy God. You can't control God. Now, why is that important? Because I think so oftentimes we're tempted to try and put the Holy Spirit in a box and say, well, He can do this, but He can't do that. He can operate here, but He can't operate there. But the Holy Spirit is God, and we cannot limit God. We cannot put God in a box, and why would we ever want to? I think oftentimes people try and put the Holy Spirit in a box because they're afraid, to the point to where they don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit in the church today. And let me tell you something, if we're not careful, the next generation will come up like the first century church, or at least a portion of the first century church, in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, where Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "What? No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." How terrible would that be? Why would we ever need to fear the Spirit of God? Why would we ever be afraid to talk about Jesus' best gift? What has the Holy Spirit ever done that we would not want Him in our lives? In fact, here's the second point I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is good. Jesus knew better than anyone that the fellowship and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the best. I mean, Jesus couldn't say enough good about the Holy Spirit. In the NIV translation, He refers to Him as the Advocate. In other translations, He's referred to as the Counselor, the Comforter. But the one that is used the most, and I think this is my favorite, Jesus refers to Him as the Helper. The Holy Spirit is our Helper. You see, God never intended for us to do this life through our own power and strength. One of the things that I loved about John Smith when he was here, as he was talking about the Holy Spirit, one of the statements he made was this, man, I wish I had known about the Holy Spirit when I was younger, when I had first become a Christian. He said, how encouraging would that have been to know that I wouldn't have to do all of this on my own, in my own power, and in my own strength, because here's the deal, we can't. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need help. And so oftentimes, instead of trying to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're tempted to settle for something called religion, where we just try and follow some rules. And if that's the case, then we're no better than a Christmas tree. You guys have heard me use this example before. You know, at Christmas, we go out. Those of you who like a live tree, you go out and you cut down that tree and you bring it into your house and you get out all the decorations and you put it on that tree, and that tree on the outside is absolutely gorgeous. But here's the deal, it's been cut off from its life source, and so guess what? Guess what's eventually going to happen? It's going to die. It looks good on the outside, but it's been cut off from its source. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a Christmas tree. I want to be a fruit tree where the Holy Spirit is producing spiritual fruit in me. And you say, spiritual fruit? What are you talking about? Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everything that Jesus is. That's what the Holy Spirit empowers us to be. You see, I can't produce that stuff by myself, by just simply showing up at church and saying, you know, I'm going to try and do better. No, I need help. And you need help. We need the Holy Spirit of God. But again, oftentimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people can get really nervous. But here's the deal. To fear the Holy Spirit is to fear the goodness of God. God is good, and God gives good gifts to His children, right? Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Why would we be afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit? I think there are several reasons. I'll mention just a few very briefly. You know, you look at the book of Acts. And one of the things that you see is the church is really growing and moving, and they're doing big things for God. In fact, we would say they're changing the world, right? And then we look at the church today, and many times we're not doing anything except filling a pew. Many times we're not doing anything big for Jesus because, you know, we're tempted to say, well, that was then, and this is now, and you know, the Holy Spirit's just not working anymore. Well, that's not true. In fact, does the church still need help? Absolutely. And here's the good news. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and what? How long? And be with you how long? Forever. You see, this promise wasn't just to one generation. This was a promise that Jesus made to every generation. That He would send the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish our mission. But I think here's another reason why people don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit. Many times as Christians, we're tempted to think that we can do this by ourselves through our own power and through our own strength. And you know what? If all we do is come to church and fill a pew and put some money in the collection plate and try and be a good neighbor and not say any curse words, yeah, I guess we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you don't even have to be a Christian to do those things. In other words, oftentimes we're tempted to live such a mediocre Christian life that we don't need the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, if we're never going to leave our comfort zone, we will never need the Comforter. But if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to live our life like Jesus, I'm talking about loving like Jesus, serving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, having joy like Jesus, even in hard times, let me tell you something. We're going to need some help. Jesus made Him available. You see, Jesus, and this is what He was trying to get across, to His disciples. He did what was best for us by leaving so that we could be our best for Him. You see, just like the first century disciples, we live in a world of uncertainty. There are times when we face hostility and really we're the underdogs when we challenge cultural values with kingdom values, and so we need the help. Someone put it like this, if we don't need help, then we may not be following Jesus like we should. But then one last thing I would mention, I think another reason why people don't like talking about the Holy Spirit is they think that it will make them weird, that He will make them weird. And I know that there are all kinds of weird stuff that we can see on TV today, but listen to me. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. The Holy Spirit makes you like Jesus. Again, going back to Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23. Those fruits of the Spirit. Those are things that are exactly the way Jesus lived His life, and that's what we're called to be. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be those things, which will make us very different from the world, but in a wonderful way. Now, I want to close out like this. Some of you are probably thinking, well, Slate, how can I receive the Holy Spirit? And this kind of ties in with last week's lesson. We talked about baptism and how you can't talk about Jesus without talking about baptism. And one of the things that we talked about from Acts chapter 2, remember, it was the day of Pentecost, and Jesus, or Peter, is preaching the first gospel sermon through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what He says. Look at verses 36 through 38. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, notice what happened. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, they were convicted. And whenever there is a conviction, well, that's a call for action. And so they asked Peter and the other apostles, what action should we take? And this is what Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive what? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say in verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Notice, Jesus doesn't pick and choose who will receive the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, Peter said, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why the church can meet anywhere, all over the world, instead of meeting in one building or in a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says, don't you realize that all of you together are what? The temple of God. And that the Spirit of God, what? Lives in you. God will bring to ruin anyone who ruins this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you Christians are that temple. Just three chapters over, verses 19 through 20, he says, do you not know that your bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, who what? Who lives in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You know, it may be today that you've decided that you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know, again, that some of you are watching this from another state, and you may be thinking, you know, I don't even know who could baptize me. If you will contact me, I'll help you find someone who can baptize you. Or even if you're right here in our community, we have a baptistry. We would love to baptize you into Christ, having all your sins completely washed away, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, having God empower you to overcome sin and to become everything that He wants you to be, to help you to become like His Son Jesus. At this time, we're going to go ahead and partake.